Today I'm reading from Matthew 25, 14 to 30, and it is titled The Parable of the Bags of Gold. Again, it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted his wealth to them. To one he gave 5 bags of gold, to another 2 bags, and to another 1 bag, each according to his ability. Then he went on his journey. The man who had received 5 bags of gold went at once and put his money to work and gained 5 bags more. So also the one with 2 bags of gold gained 2 more. But the man who had received 1 bag went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 bags of gold brought the other 5. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 5 bags of gold. See, I have gained 5 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. The man with 2 bags of gold also came. Master, he said, you entrusted me with 2 bags of gold. See, I have gained 2 more. His master replied, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Then the man who had received 1 bag of gold came. Master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown and gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was afraid and went out and hid your gold in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. His master replied, you wicked, lazy servant. So you knew that I harvest where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. Well then, you should have put my money on deposit with the bankers so that when I returned, I would have received it back with interest. So take the bag of gold from him and give it to the one who has 10 bags. For whoever has will be given more and they will have an abundance. Whoever does not have, even what they have will be taken from them. And throw that worthless servant outside into the darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.
Good morning, everyone. My name is Scott. I'm the pastor here at Trinity Church, Parra Hills. Before I get started, I just want to mention something that some of you probably will know, actually. Many of us will know Joel and Tessa, who've been part of our church for a little while now. Yesterday, probably a lot of you also know that Joel and Tessa got married. So it was a wonderful day for them. And I thought I might begin my time up to here just by praying for them as they start out married life together. So will you join me as we pray? Our good and loving Father, we just want to thank you so much for Joel and Tessa. We want to thank you for their faith in Jesus and the way that you have been shaping them to be people who live for Christ. And we wanted to pray for them today. Father, yesterday you joined them in marriage, and we thank you for that good gift you've given them. Please help them start married life really well in the coming weeks and months. And we pray for them that this marriage would be a strong marriage that lasts a lifetime and that witnesses to those around them of you and your love for us. So please be with Joel and Tessa now, we pray. And please be with us as we dig into your word. Help us listen carefully to you. We pray that what I say that's from you would be heard and remembered, and that which isn't would just fall to the ground. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, I want to start today actually by comparing 2 different kinds of giving. First, let me tell you about my nan. There's a picture of it's a much, much younger me, and there's my nan kind of down the front on this side. I love my nan. She died nearly 2 years ago. She was a farmer for all her life, which meant she developed some funny quirks from living on the land away from people, some odd sayings because she was just a lot older than me. But Nan was really, really good with money. So she was kind of saving up superannuation for her and Pop, long before superannuation was really a thing. So when she and Pop retired, they had a healthy bank account. And occasionally, she'd take some money of hers and she'd give it to her kids. She had 5 kids. She'd give the same amount to each kid. It was purely a gift out of her generosity. But Nan would hate it when one of my aunties would take that money and spend it on going travelling. She'd hate it, and then she'd get on the phone to my mum and she'd have a win. She'd say, oh, I wish, why doesn't she just put it in the bank? Why does she have to go travelling everywhere? It kind of reflects what my nan did with her money mostly. But once Nan gave the money to my aunt, she really didn't get to have a say in how my aunt would use it. And that's what Mum would tell her on the phone. If you don't want her to do it, don't give her any money. Compare that kind of giving, my Nan's kind of giving, to the bank. And when the bank gave my family money to buy a house. Because it's different, isn't it? Because the bank really isn't giving me money. It's loaning me money. And so it's right for them to be very interested in how I use that money. You know, if I take their loan and go one day and blow it all on the pokies, well, the bank's not going to be very happy, are they? And they're going to be right to not be happy with me. There'll be quite bad consequences for me, I presume. But they're two different kinds of giving, aren't they? The giving that my nan does and the giving that the bank does. We're doing a series at the moment. It's all about God at our church and kind of where we're going into 2025. Last week, we saw that God is big. The God we have is a huge God. He is the maker of everything and he keeps everything going. He's a God who is in control of all things. He uses his power and control not to kind of put a finger on us. He uses his power and control to give to us. He gives us lots of good things. Every good thing we have comes from him. In fact, God gives of himself for us. And so lastly, we concluded that everything we have is given by God. And ultimately, it's still God's. He's just given it to us for a little while. It's kind of like the loan that the bank gives. Now, that's only an analogy to a certain point. God is not capricious like the banks are, right? He's not trying to cheat me out of my money. He has the generosity that my nan has in her heart. But at the end of the day, the things that God has given me, it's still a loan from him. And so we left yesterday with this question, a question I want us to answer today. If everything we have comes from God, if it's ultimately still God's, how do we use the things then that he's given us? That's where we're going today. And to help us, we're going to start in that passage that Meredith has read out for us. It's often called the parable of the talents or the parable of the bags of gold. Now, parables are just stories that Jesus told, and behind the story there's a meaning. To give some context here, we're in Matthew chapter 25, and in Matthew 25, Jesus has been talking about him leaving. Soon, he says, he's not going to be around anymore, but he will return. And so he's teaching his followers how to live in that in-between bit while he's gone before he comes back. And the big thing he's saying in this passage is be ready. Be ready for when Jesus returns. And that's what we see in this parable, the parable that Meredith read out too. Now, there's a man in his story and he's going on a journey. But before he goes, he entrusts some of his wealth onto his servants. Not all of them get the same thing, but they all get something. And then he goes on the journey. And if you look in verse 19, you see the journey lasts a very long time. But the servants know, they always know he's going to come back. He will return. And when he does, they're going to be accountable for how they've used the things that he's given them. So they need to be ready for him to come back. And as the story goes on, we see when the man comes back, there are two servants who've put the money to good use and one servant who did nothing with it. Now, if you're like me, you read this parable and it probably raises a lot of questions. I'm sorry to say that today I'm not going to wrestle through all the questions that this parable raises. But next year, we're going to go through this part of the Bible a little more slowly. So we'll get to it then. But today, I really just wanted to see the big thing from this parable. I think it's fairly clear, isn't it? That being ready for Jesus' return means using what we've been given for God, for his purposes. The parable talks about the man giving money to his servants. We know, though, that God has given us more than just money, right? God has given us all sorts of things. We talked about this last week. He's given us the time that we have, the gifts or the skills or abilities that are different between us. They're things that God has given us. He's given us the opportunities in life we have, the relationships we have, the energy and the health we have, the things that are in our cupboards at home. It all comes from God. Everything we have comes from God. It's His. He's just loaned it to us for a time. We're like the servants in the parable. And so the parable is about using these things properly, using them for the good of the one who gave them to us. In the parable, the man wanted his servants to use the money to increase his money. For us, God has given us things, not so that we would increase God's money, but He's given them to us so that we would use them for God's purposes, for God's end, for the growing of God's kingdom. That's the big point of the parable. And it really helps us answer that question from last week, doesn't it? What do we use the things that God has given us for? What do we do with them? We use them for His sake, for God's sake, to grow His kingdom. That's why God has given you the things that you have. So this is the kind of question we need to keep thinking about. What are the things that God has given me? What are the things that God has given you? How much time has He given you? What kind of health has He given you? How has He gifted you? What skills or abilities do you have that not everyone else around you has? What kind of connections and relationships and friendships has God put you in your life? What material possessions do you have? Your house, your car, your food, all sorts of things. Your bank account. What opportunities has God put in your life already? What kind of position, what place has God given you in life? The key thing here is not feeling guilty about the things that you have, nor feeling let down about the things that you don't have. God has given us different things in different amounts to each of us. We're not all the same. What we need to do, though, is ask, what has God given me? What has God placed in my life? And then, how do I use that for His sake? How do I use this for God's purposes? How do I use this to grow His kingdom? What would it look like for us, you know, not to take these things for granted as if I'm owed them, but to use the things as if they're not really ours, because they're God's. To recognize that they're from Him and He's loaned them to us for a time. So how do I use these things then for God's sake, for the sake of His kingdom? A number of years ago, our family took a holiday down to Port Elliot, and I remember it as the hay fever holiday. It was really windy down there and my hay fever just went off the charts and the medication wouldn't help. And I remember kind of just being wheezy and sneezy, my eyes watering. It was not terribly fun. And at the same time, the place we were staying, it was an Airbnb place. My daughter Eva, we didn't realize at the time, but she's allergic to cats. And there was cat hair kind of all around this place. And well, she was kind of uncomfortable for a lot of it too. But the Airbnb, we were staying in this Airbnb and hanging up on the wall, I've got a picture of it. There was this kind of saying on the wall. Here it is. It says, life is a great big canvas and you should throw all the paint on it you can. Life's a great big canvas. Throw all the paint on it you can. And what's the sentiment behind those? What's it saying? It's saying, isn't it, you know, just do whatever you can. Fit as much into your life as is humanly possible for you. Whatever you have, use it to do all the things that mean your life is filled up. That's what it's all about. It's throwing all the paint at the canvas of life that you possibly can. I thought this was odd. Let me tell you why. Have you ever stood back and thrown paint at canvas? Probably not. But you can imagine what you'd get, right? What's the end result? Just get a big mess. It ends up being a big brown blob, doesn't it? Whose favourite colour here is brown? That's what I thought. Nobody likes brown, but that's what you're going to get. A big brown blob. See, this parable that we've been reading today, it helps us see the purpose of the things we've been given, right? We don't use them for our own sake. We don't have them so we can throw all this paint at the canvas of life. Because if you do that, you get something that makes no sense. It doesn't even look like a nice piece of art. Instead, the reason that we have the things that God has given us is because he wants to use it for his purpose. He wants us to use it for his purpose, for the sake of his kingdom and its growth. Not because God needs our skills or our time or our money or our energy or our houses or anything to do what he wants. No, God can do anything he wants without us. But actually doing this, using our things in this way, that's waiting well. That's being ready for Jesus to come back. It's being faithful with the things that God has given us. As a church, we have a vision that we've kept pointing towards. You probably heard us say this before. We want to be a church that's driven by God's grace in everything we do. We want to be people who live for Jesus. And we want to see more and more people join us in living for Jesus too. That's what we want our church to be doing now and next year. And for as long as God gives us as a church, this really is our aim and direction. Now, can I say, this here is not really my idea. It's not even our church's idea. We didn't get together and vote on this. Our leadership team didn't sit around and craft this and come up with this idea out of our own heads. It's very unoriginal, if I can be honest with you. Because really, this is just what God wants. This is just what God has told us he's doing in the world. That is, God is the one at work in the world right now, growing us so that we might live for Jesus. God is the one at work in the world right now, bringing more and more people to start living for Jesus. This is God's work. This is what he is doing in the world. And so isn't that what we want to do as well then? Using the things that God has given us for his sake, to join him in what he's doing, to grow his kingdom. You know, maybe for you, God has given you a passion. You want to see other believers grow deeply in their faith. And so you want to invest in reading the Bible with them, in kind of discipling and mentoring them in their faith. Maybe God has given you a lot of energy, and so you think, well, I want to throw this energy at serving people, maybe at serving at Trinity Kids to help them get to know more about Jesus and grow. Maybe God has given you lots of time, and so you want to ask for some help and some training so that perhaps you could grow to be like a team leader and take on responsibility over an aspect of church life. Maybe you realize God has given you a lot of connections with people who don't know Jesus, and so you want to just spend quality time with them because you love Jesus and you'd love to see them get to know Jesus. You want to be open about being a believer with them. Maybe you're sitting here and you think, well, I've just got no idea how God has gifted me at all. And so you think, well, I just might try serving in a ministry team, and perhaps I'll find out what my gifts are that way. There's lots of different things that this could look like for all of us, right? Because not all of it, God hasn't given all of us exactly the same thing. But in using what God has given us for his sake, there's always a cost involved. There's always a cost involved. It will cost you your time. It will cost you your energy. Every time you say yes to something, you end up saying no to a lot of other things that you don't do then. There's a cost involved, and yet it's still right to bear that cost, isn't it? Because isn't that what God has given you these things for in the first place? Not for your sake, but for his and for the sake of his kingdom. Isn't that what it means to wait well, to be ready for Jesus' return? And friends, as you do this, here's the great encouragement of this parable. God sees what you do. He knows what you do. And he won't forget. Won't it be a joy to hear those words, the kind of words that the man spoke to his faithful servant? Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a few things. I'll put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness. Wouldn't it be a joy to hear those words spoken to us by our Lord Jesus? In the second half of my time up here today, though, I wanted to take a deeper look at just one thing. I want us to get specific about one thing that God has given us. And that thing is money. This kind of thing can be an uncomfortable thing to talk about, right? Talking about money. And it can be uncomfortable for some of us for all sorts of reasons. And if you're new to church here, I just want to say, look, we're not a church that talks about this all the time. But we do want to talk about it because money is a big part of life, whether we have much or whether we have little. And so it's going to be right for us to hear what the Bible says about money. In fact, Jesus himself had a lot to say about money, and it's so good for us to hear him, even if it is a bit challenging. And to help us do this, we're going to have a quick dive into Matthew chapter 6. In Matthew 6, Jesus is partway through his great Sermon on the Mount. And all through this sermon, he's been saying, look, if you follow me, it's going to radically reshape everything about your life, including this little passage we're about to read on how we use our money. So Meredith is going to come back up and she's going to read for us Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 to 24. Thanks, Meredith.
Matthew 6, verse
19
to 24, entitled Treasures in Heaven. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Thanks, Meredith. Did you notice that Jesus says there are two places, or really two ages, to be rich in? You can be rich now, store up treasure on earth now, or you can be rich in the age to come. You can store up treasure in heaven. But both of these options are not good and equal options, right? Jesus says there's a problem with being rich and having treasure on earth. And the problem is the stuff just doesn't last. It's temporary. It says in verse 19. Jesus says things come along and eat away at our treasures. Now, he talks about moths and rats and mice and that kind of thing, which was a real problem in the ancient times. And today we might think we've got ways to protect us against moths and rats and mice, but things still come and eat away at our wealth, don't they? You got your money in your bank, and the bank charges you a bit of fee for themselves. You got your superannuation there, and the super fund will charge you their fees. And the government comes along with their taxes and levies and takes some from you. And on and on and on it goes. And then at the end, if you still have anything left over, well, what's to say that someone doesn't come along and just take it from you? And that really does happen in our country. Did you know, in 2023, just last year, how much did Australians lose to scammers? $2.74 billion. Incredible, right? Thieves break in and steal all the time. Treasure on earth just does not last. So Jesus says, here's a better idea. Store up treasure in heaven, because that's where treasure lasts. That's the investment that will not go wrong for you. And I've heard people talk about wishing that they could go back in time. And the things, if they could, the things that they would invest in, you know, imagine getting in early with Steve Jobs and the Apple products, or with Microsoft and Bill Gates. You know, even if you had a little bit of an investment in their work back then, how much would that be worth now? And you think about the same kind of things you could invest in. Like maybe if you got in early with Google and invested there, or Facebook, or if you bought some early Bitcoin or some kind of other cryptocurrency that's gone through the roof. And you think, well, that would be a great investment. And you might be right. Those things might be a good investment. They might even last you a whole lifetime. You might be able to set up your whole life off just a small investment there. But like with all treasure on earth, eventually it's going to be temporary, isn't it? No matter how big your bank balance is, you cannot take it with you beyond the grave. But riches in heaven is a different story. Jesus tells us to invest there because the value of that will last into eternity. And Jesus actually tells us there's another reason why. It's not just that things don't come in and take it away. But look at verse 21 as well. What does Jesus say in verse 21? He says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I think it's easy for us to read this the wrong way around. We can think, well, if our heart is in the right place, well, if we value the eternal things, then our treasure will follow. Naturally, we'll give to eternal things. And so we'll have heavenly treasure. But notice, friends, that is not what Jesus says, is it? He says our treasure doesn't follow our hearts. He says our hearts follow our treasure. Where we put our wealth, that's where our hearts end up being attracted to as well. That is, if we build up treasure on earth, then we need to really beware, friends, because our hearts will stay invested in the here and now. And bit by bit, it might be quite slow, but we begin to neglect then the heavenly, the eternal, the spiritual things that will last. And so Jesus says, invest in what is eternal. Store your riches where it will last. Put your treasure in heaven, because ultimately this will be good for you and for your eternity. Your heart will follow where your treasure is stored. And at the same time that it's good for you, it's actually also really good for others. Because as you use your riches and your money now for God's sake and to grow his kingdom, as you be generous towards that end, well, through your investment, more and more people get to know about Jesus too. And they start living for him. So this is not just a good plan for your eternity. It's a great plan for the eternity of others as well. So let's think a bit about practically, what does that look like for us? I want to be honest here. So I'm not saying that we should only ever give money to Christian ministries. No, there are other organizations in our world that do very good things, and it's good for us to get behind them because they are doing good. You know, things like the Cancer Council or Backpacks for SA Kids, these kinds of things. They're good, and look, if you are generous to them, can I say, that is a very good thing to be doing. But Jesus also challenges here, doesn't he, that we'll want to be using our money for God's sake and to see his kingdom grow. This is storing up treasure in heaven. That will include giving to church, but we'll talk a bit about that next week, because it's more than just giving to church, isn't it? This is where I want to highlight some of our mission partners. We love our mission partners. These are people and organizations we are so happy to get behind because of the work they do. They're set aside, and they're setting aside people for the sake of God's kingdom, to grow his kingdom. These are people like the Purdy's we've talked about. Malcolm, Ainsley, Elsie, June, Calvin and Hugo. Just a regular family from Adelaide, believers. But they've left Adelaide behind and are now living in Chile. So they can train people to be the pastors and evangelists that go all across South America. And friends, we get to partner with them as they do this. You know, I was thinking about it this week. I can't wait to get to heaven and to meet face to face some of the people who are there in heaven, humanly speaking, who are there because of the work that the Purdys are doing now. That's storing up eternal treasures. How good to be part of that. Or we love partnering with Dave and Margie Wood. They're a bit newer to our church. We've only started partnering with them this year. And actually, they're fairly new in the city of Coober Pedy as well. But they've recently, they've retired from their jobs they've worked all their lives. They've moved to Coober Pedy so they can run the church in town there. And they can try and reach out to other people in Coober Pedy who don't yet know Jesus. Again, imagine the eternal impact of getting behind that work. It's great to be part of this, isn't it? Or same with the work of Compassion. I know a number of us sponsor some kids through Compassion, especially our church has partnered with an area that's got some kids in Indonesia. And here's what I love about Compassion. All their work is done primarily through the local churches that are there. So kids and families get their medical help, they get educated, they get food, but also through that local church, the kids get to know about Jesus. Families get to know about Jesus. It's brilliant, right? And of course, we love partnering with Anya. We see Anya a lot because she's part of our church. But I think a lot of us know this as well. She's also part of a big work that's happening over at Mawson Lakes Uni, helping uni students in this really key part in their life where they're thinking about their futures, helping uni students get to know Jesus. And those who do know Jesus, helping them grow and be solid as believers as they head into life. This is great stuff. And friends, we get to be part of it. The eternal impact that this work has, we get to be part of it by partnering with Anya. But all of these here, these are great ways to invest the money that God has given us, loaned to us. This is a great way of storing up treasure in heaven. And I know that there's others too. Many of us in church here, I know that you have other people who you get behind and support in this way. Missionaries and organizations. And again, I want to encourage you. This is great. This is storing up treasure in heaven, friends. My point is not to say that our church's mission partners are the only way you can do this. No, we love and we trust and we talk about them. And we'll keep doing that. But they're not the only ones. The point is this. God has given you, has loaned to you a certain amount of money. No matter how much or how little you have, it's come from one place, and that is God. It's not going to be yours forever. He's loaned it to you for a time. And so here's what we do with this kind of stuff. We ask, how will I use what he's given me? What does it mean for me to be a faithful steward with this money? How can I use it for furthering God's kingdom? How do I use it with eternity in mind? How do I store up eternal treasure in heaven? Can I ask each of us here to wrestle with that question this week? Wrestle with it for yourself. If you're part of a bigger family, wrestle through it with your family. How will you use the riches that God has loaned you for his sake? Next week, we're going to wrestle with that question for our church. What has God given us? And what does that mean for our church as we head towards 2025? But for now, I'm going to pray for us. Let me pray. Our good and gracious God, you're so kind in your giving. You are so generous in what you've given us. And we want to pray in this time where we're waiting for Jesus to return. Please help us use the things you've given us well. Our time, our energy, our health, the opportunities, our friendships and connections, and our money too. Help us use these things not for our own sake, as if we owned these and they were ours, but help us use these things for your sake and for the sake of your kingdom. We pray this, knowing that we do need your help, Father. Please be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.